National Broadcasting Company presents The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Directed by Nat Hiken and written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily Boehm. Pert Kelton was Agnes.
You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. And my name, darling, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
There is someone waiting who will carry up and rescue you this
fall. And now here is your guide to these adventures of the mind.
There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you this fall. OTR.
And now, here is OTR.
Hey everyone, this is OTR Rob, welcoming you to another edition of The Magnificent Montague. This episode comes from November 24th, 1950. The episode is entitled, Montague Plays Romeo. Now, if you think about it, it's kind of ridiculous that a man in his mid-50s would want to play Romeo of Romeo and Juliet. Now you have to remember that if you're not familiar with plays of Shakespeare was very specific about what type of people were to play his characters. And for Romeo and Juliet, Romeo had to be anywhere from 14 to 15 years of age, and whereas Juliet had to be 12 to 13 years of age. Now you put the Magnificent Montague, who is at least 56 years of age, playing Romeo. It's just ridiculous. It's just totally ridiculous. The other thing here you have to remember is that Montague is struggling with the idea of playing Romeo simply because in order for him to play the role, he would have to cut off his beard. Now, Monty Woolley has had a beard for all of his adult life. So, for him to take on the role of Romeo and having to cut off his beard, that's a big decision that he has to make. And, oh, by the way, next week's episode actually discusses more about if Montague is going to cut his beard off. So that's next week's episode. So it's a continuation. This is part one, and part two will be next week. So anyway, putting that aside, enjoy this episode of The Magnificent Montague, and I'll be back after this with The Big Show.
National Broadcasting Company presents The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. This is an age that shall be marked by the achievements of women, Madame Curie, Florence Nightingale, Carrie Nation. But all their accomplishments are overshadowed by the single triumph of Lily Boehm. She talked her husband, Edwin Montague, the Magnificent Montague of the Shakespearean Theater, into going on radio as Uncle Goodhart, hero of an afternoon program. This not only broke his heart, but his 8-year record of unemployment. But today, Lily is beginning to wonder if it was such a good idea after all. It is the morning in the Montague apartment. Agnes, the maid, is about to answer the door.
Okay. Yeah?
Another crate for Uncle Goodhart.
Oh, brother. Okay, waltz it in.
Sign here.
Okay. Some more trash from the grateful listeners. The joint's starting to look like a pawn shop.
Agnes, would you please... What in heaven's name is that?
Here's a letter come with it. From Lilliput, Ohio.
Let's see it. Dear Uncle Goodhart, Enclosed, please find a 6-foot replica of our city hall at Lilliput, Ohio. It was built with 2,000 cakes of your sponsor's soap.
A little something for Uncle to play with in his bathtub.
Agnes, we've got to get rid of this.
Uh-oh, here comes Uncle Hambone now.
Just a cutting in small by E-I-O. Good morning, Lily. I feel quite... Gad, what is that monstrosity? Agnes, have you been on another quiz program?
Edwin, sit down at the table. Your breakfast is here.
What's this letter?
Well, it came with the monstrosity.
Dear Uncle Goodheart, enclosed a replica. So that's what it is. It was built...
Oh. Agnes, call up and have them take it away.
Wait, listen to this. It's rather touching. Every family in Lilliput donated their year's supply of Shalimar soap in order to make this model possible. Really, Lily, the least we can do is to keep it in the living room for a while.
Now, Edwin...
Imagine they gave up their year's supply of soap for me. You know, I'd like to visit the Lilliput sometime.
Better wait till next year when they get some more soap.
Nonsense. I'll bet it's a pretty little place.
When the wind's right.
My dear Agnes, you could easily be replaced by a cocker spaniel.
Edwin, your breakfast. Now, you have to go to your broadcast. Agnes.
Okay, I'll bring in the grub.
The grub. Really, Lily, don't you think that after 25 years with us, Agnes might have discovered that this is a home and not a lumber camp?
Here, do you want the newspaper?
Just the radio section.
Listen to this in the Dramas News. Max Garland...
Lily, must you mention that name? Me with an empty stomach.
Oh, please listen. Max Garland today announced that his forthcoming production of Romeo and Juliet, starring Catherine Cornell and Laurence Olivier, has been temporarily postponed.
Max Garland putting on Romeo and Juliet with that juvenile vaudevillian, Laurence Olivier? Oh, Shakespeare, what crimes are committed in thy name?
Oh, now, Edwin, just because Larry Olivier did Hamlet for the movies...
Hamlet for the movies? It's like playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata on a kazoo.
Let me finish.
Read on, Macduff.
Mr. Olivier cannot leave England due to previous commitments.
Previous commitments. He's obviously in jail for impersonating an actor. This is rich.
Then it goes on.
Read it.
Nothing important.
Read it. This is all very amusing. Go on.
Theatergoers of yesteryear will remember Mr. Garland's great Shakespearean revival starring the old-time favorite Edwin the Magnificent Montague.
The old-time favorite? What am I, a horse car? A bicycle built for two? Is the man an old-time favorite at the age of 43?
43?
43, and the subject is closed. Read on.
Here's your pancakes, younger than springtime.
Ah, Lily, at our Thanksgiving dinner, when you brought that huge stuffed bird to the table, for one glorious, ecstatic moment, I thought it was Agnes.
He's such a doll.
Edwin, there's more in the article about the 15 years you and Max were associated.
15 years. For each and every minute of those 15 years, there's a gray hair in my beard. I don't want to hear any more about the theater.
But, Edwin, you're going overboard on this Uncle Goodheart afternoon program. We don't go to any plays.
Lily, please. I have a big day at the radio studio today. The boys came in with a very touching script. It seems a canary with a broken wing hops into Uncle Goodheart's little cottage. Everybody says, kill it, Uncle Goodheart. Put it out of its misery. But I cannot destroy any living thing. I make a little splint out of matchsticks. Bind up the little broken wing. Suddenly the canary's eyes open. It looks up at me and then... it bursts into song.
And the farmer took another load away. And I do mean corn.
Lily, I was thinking about dear Agnes's Christmas present. Last year for her room, we got her a chair. This Christmas, can't we have it electrified?
Edwin, I'm serious. We've built our whole lives around the theater.
Lily, let's face reality. There is a new bright life in front of me. To 10 million trusting listeners, I am not Edwin Montague, the great actor. I am Uncle Goodheart. And you...
Me?
Yes, you are not Lily Boehm, the actress. You are Uncle Goodheart's wife. Aunt Goodheart.
Uncle and Aunt Goodheart.
The first one who mentions Cousin Agnes gets a shot in the head.
Lily Boehm. Aunt Goodheart.
That's right. Get used to it, Lily. Oh, Gad, look at the time. I'll be late for rehearsal.
Lily Boehm is here to see you, Mr. Garland.
Lily, send her right in, Miss Cooper. Lily, sweetheart.
Max.
Lily, how do you do it? You look wonderful. How's the monster?
Edwin's fine. Max, you look so healthy.
Very simple. No Montague, no ulcers.
Oh,
Lily, I'm serious. It was 8 years ago on a Thursday night when your husband and I had that final battle and we parted after 15 years. I remember that day, walking back to my office a broken, bitter man. And then it hit me. No more Montague. It was like the finale of Blossom Time. Suddenly birds were singing, bells began ringing, and everything was sunshine and light. No more Montague!
Oh, now, Max, it wasn't that
Lily,
bad.
It was a new world. I found out what people do at night. Do you know what people do at night, Lily? They sleep. They don't pace the floor all night wondering if Montague is going to show up opening night with his own additional dialogue for Hamlet's soliloquy. They sleep.
Oh, come on.
I found out that a man does not live on bromo seltzer alone. For 15 years, I was on a liquid diet. Nothing but bromo seltzer. Do you know I haven't had one bromo seltzer since that Thursday night 8 years ago? No more Montague. It's a gateway to life.
Oh, Max, I believe you. Here you are happy, even though you can't put on your Romeo and Juliet because Larry Olivier can't make it.
So what?
Max, if I asked you for a favor, something that's very important to me...
Lily, anything you want. You just ask for it and it's yours.
All right, Max, here it is. I want you to give Edwin the part of Romeo.
Miss Cooper.
Yes, Mr. Garland.
Will you send down for some bromo seltzer, please? Montague again. Lily, have mercy.
Max, you have to do this for me.
I can't do it, Lily, I can't.
Now, Max, wait, Max. What time is it?
About 3:25.
Oh, good. May I turn on this radio?
Sure, why?
Well, just sit back, Max. Listen to this.
Oh, Uncle Goodheart, you fixed the little dicky bird's wing.
And we wanted you to destroy the canary. Oh, how could we have been so cruel, so blind?
Look at this little canary. Remember this canary as you go through life.
Oh, Uncle Goodheart, look. The canary's opened his eyes.
He's stirring. Golly.
Shh. This is the crisis. It's opening its mouth.
It sings.
It sings.
Yes, my children, it sings. Remember this, you, Melissa, worrying because your father's business went bankrupt and your home burned down. You, Ronald, fretting because Melissa's father is peeved at you for stealing all his cash out of his business in order to raise bail for your mother. Think how small and insignificant these things are. Think how small and insignificant these things are alongside of this little bird with a broken wing. It sings, just as you must sing as you walk out into the sunshine and life. You have been listening to another episode of Uncle Goodheart, brought to you by Shalimar Soap. And now, before we leave you until tomorrow, here is Uncle Goodheart and his thought for the day. When you see a friend in trouble, in the cold, without a coat, facing snow and sleet and blizzard, won't you drop a little note?
What's this all about?
Max, that was Edwin Montague.
Yes, sir.
Miss Cooper, make that a double bromo.
Well, Max?
Holy, I can't believe Edwin Montague, Uncle Goodheart.
Well, Max, the horrible part of it all is that he likes it.
He likes it? Oh, no. This is the man who corrected the English in Shakespeare before he'd lower himself to read the lines.
Max, his whole life is wrapped up in this Uncle Goodheart. I've got to get him back into the theater before it's too late. You have to let him play Romeo.
But, Lily, I hesitated with Laurence Olivier because I thought he was a little old. Now Montague is Romeo. Oh, Lily, this is... I'm putting this on with my own money. Give me a fighting chance.
Max, I'm handing you a smash hit. Are you blind?
All I can see is Montague tottering up that ladder to Juliet's balcony. That'll take a whole act in itself. Lily, I can't.
Max, use your head. The one Shakespearean play Edwin Montague has never done, Romeo and Juliet. His farewell Shakespearean appearance.
Farewell appearance. That always drags him in. Romeo and Juliet, strong play, team with Catherine Cornell, that never hurts. McClintock to direct. You know, it's starting to sound... But Edwin Montague is Romeo. Oh, no!
Max, he'll be wonderful. You always said he had the magic. Once he's on that stage, he'll be 18 again. Oh, Max, for me, for yourself, for the theater. Well, Max...
Okay, Lily, you got me. He's Romeo.
Oh, Max.
Please, back with Montague. That means I'll have to dig up his old makeup man, the one I hate, and the valet, the one who steals. And I have to break this to Catherine Cornell. Oh, hello there.
Hello there. What was that?
Nothing. I was just welcoming back my ulcer. Montague is Romeo. Lily, will he do it for me?
Oh, don't worry, Max. I know my husband. There's only one sure way to get Montague to take a part. Tell him he can't have it.
I tell you, Agnes, I don't like to talk about radio and Uncle Goodheart, but... when I put that little splint on the canary's broken wing, well, all I can tell you is that when I looked in the control room, the engineers were just sitting there with tears streaming down their faces. It's silly, but I myself choked up.
Here's your tea. I better dunk the tea bag for you. You're shattered.
I tell you, Agnes, the impact of that little dicky bird, broken in body, suddenly bursting into song. Did you hear Uncle Goodheart today?
No. I heard it yesterday without getting sick. I didn't want to press my luck.
Well, what can you expect from a just plain bill listener? Agnes, you have all the charm and understanding of a bucket of chicken feet.
Thank you, dear Uncle Goodheart.
For the first time in my life, I feel that I'm close to humanity, close to the people. Oh, it's wonderful.
You've never been in a subway at 6 o'clock.
Agnes, my dear, it is only this insane loyalty my wife has for you that stands between you being in our home and back setting up pins in a bowling alley.
Hello, Edwin. Hello, Agnes.
Hi, honey.
Lily.
Ah, tea.
Sit down. I was just about to pour some for your husband over his head.
Oh, Edwin, isn't Agnes refreshing?
Firstly, I'll take a cup of hot lard.
Coming right up.
Oh, now. Oh, Edwin, I'm proud of you. I heard Uncle Goodheart today.
You did, Lily? Really?
Edwin, it was simply magnificent.
The canary scene, eh?
Oh, it only made me cry, that's all.
And that ending?
When it burst into song.
Some dramatic walloper. I tell you, Lily, these new writers on the program, how they do it, I don't know.
Beyond me.
You know, Lily, when you think it took Eugene O'Neill 4 years to write Strange Interlude, yet those boys come up day after day with this wonderful stuff. Starts a man a-thinking, a heap of thinking.
I'll just mosey into the kitchen. I got a heap of cooking to do, a heap of cooking.
Ah, Lily, remember 10 years ago when Agnes had pneumonia and you nursed her through it? I'll never forgive you for it.
Edwin, I was wrong about wanting you to take an interest in the theater again. That life is over for you. You are the perfect Uncle Goodheart. Even Max said so.
Max? Max Garland?
Yes, I went to his office. We heard the program together.
Really? What did Max the moron think of it?
loved it.
He did, eh?
Crazy about it.
Well, one thing I always did say about Max was occasionally he had flashes of extremely good taste. By the way, did Max get another Romeo?
No, but he's not worried. Plenty of top-flight Shakespearean actors still around.
Sure.
Max seems kind of sold on Burgess Meredith.
Oh, gee. A boy from Hollywood. He'll insist on a song and at least 2 dance numbers.
Of course, there's always Maurice Evans.
No. And who else?
Well, naturally, your name, Edwin Montague, came up, but Max and I laughed.
You did?
We mentioned Duane Denton.
Stock actor. Lily, what do you mean you laugh?
Edwin, you as Romeo, it's ridiculous. You've never played it. You don't know the role. Oh, yes, Max even talked of getting Orson Welles.
Too fat. Lily, I don't know Romeo. I don't know Romeo.
Edwin, it's silly to discuss
this. I don't know Romeo. But soft, what light through yonder window streaks?
Yonder window breaks.
Yonder window breaks. It is the west.
East.
It is the east. And Juliet is the star.
Sun.
And the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the jealous moon.
The envious moon.
The envious moon, who is already sick and weak with grief.
Pale with grief.
That you, her maid.
Thou, her maid.
That thou, her maid, is far more fair than she. Ah, it is my lady. Oh, it is my love. Huh? And I don't know Romeo. Lily? Lily, what's the matter?
I'm being foolish, Edwin.
Lily, you're crying.
Oh, Edwin, it was so beautiful. The depth and tenderness.
You seem surprised. What did you expect, brain?
Well, it's just that it's been so long since I heard anything like that. I guess I just forgot what a truly great actor you are, isn't he, Agnes?
He's a great actor. You ain't doing so bad yourself.
Edwin, when you recited those lines just now, I suddenly saw you bathed in an amber spotlight. I got that wonderful chill I used to get watching you from the wings doing Brutus in Julius Caesar.
Friends, Romans, lend me your ears.
Your Hamlet.
The soul's the thing.
Oh, why torture myself with these foolish hopes that Edwin Montague will ever present to the theater the one Shakespearean play he's never done, Romeo and Juliet.
Edwin Montague and Romeo and Juliet. You know, Lily, maybe,
No, Edwin. You have your Uncle Goodhart. It's better, as Max puts it.
And how does Max put it?
Well, he said the magnificent Montague is like a great thoroughbred. He's run his race.
I've run my race.
And now, with his glorious victories behind him, he's earned his right to be put out in the pasture of radio to graze.
Put out to graze. Why, that stupid, insignificant, wretched little man.
Edwin!
So he thinks I'm through, eh?
Max didn't
He thinks I can't play Romeo, eh?
Edwin, don't...
I'll give him a Romeo that will send Evans, Olivier, Gielgud, and the rest of those frauds scurrying back to their little dramatic schools.
You can't. What about your Uncle Goodhart program?
Oh, that illiterate, drooling poppycock. I'll toss it off in the afternoon. But at night. At night, Lily. Kit Cornell and I will give them a Romeo and Juliet that'll make the theater ring with glory once again.
Oh, Edwin, I can't wait for that curtain. What a performance it'll be, won't it, Agnes?
Honey, there's only one performance I don't want to miss. The magnificent Montague trying to get into the tights he wore 8 years ago.
Get the door. That's Max.
Okay, honey. Max.
Agnes.
So it's you and Montague again. You're joining our happy little family.
That's right, Agnes.
Come in. Welcome to Devil's Island.
Hello, Max. Is everything okay?
I guess so. I just came from Catherine Cornell's place. I sprung the news that her new Romeo is going to be Edwin Montague.
She was thrilled?
Yes, after the first shock wore off. Where is he?
He's in his den, waiting to make an entrance. Agnes, will you call him?
Okay, I'll knock. On stage, Mr. Montague.
Agnes, did you... Max Garland. Well, I can't believe my eyes. Max, my dear, dear friend, what a surprise.
Not bad for only 2 hours rehearsal.
You remember Agnes, Max, our little 40-year-old juvenile delinquent.
Two of you still at it, huh? This is like old times.
No, Max, it's not going to be like old times. All those arguments we had. For what, Max? For what?
Yes, Edwin, we live and learn.
Yes, we had 15 wonderful, exciting years together. Quiet, Jessica Dragonette. Yes, Max. Why should the memories of those years be marred by one flop, King Lear?
Sure. After all those hits, what's one flop?
This time, Max, you're the boss. You make the decisions.
Thank you, Edwin.
Max, from now on, I'm just a lamb. You're the shepherd. Just lead me. Where do we open?
New Haven.
That is definitely out.
Here's a bromo, Max.
Edwin, Max wants...
No more college towns. I am an artist. I refuse to be treated as merely an intermission between football games.
All right, Edwin. We'll open in Philly. Now, about the billing. I spoke to Catherine Cornell
The billing. My name in lights again. Oh, how it was. Edwin Montague in Hamlet with Lily Boehm. Edwin Montague in Julius Caesar with Lily Boehm. Now it's all changed. Is going to be Edwin Montague in Romeo and Juliet with Catherine Cornell.
Max, what's the matter?
Let me pound you on the back, old man.
Don't touch me.
But Max.
Edwin Montague in Romeo and Juliet with Catherine Cornell. Are you crazy? Catherine Cornell getting second billing?
Yes, Edwin, be reasonable.
Reasonable? I'm a star. In my entire career, my name has always stood out alone.
Mostly on unemployment insurance checks.
Agnes, when the script calls for animal noises, we'll let you know.
Montague, Catherine Cornell is going to give you equal billing. It's the most gracious gesture you could ask for.
Edwin, she's a great star.
What am I? Hoot Gibson?
Look, Edwin, We'll settle all this at the first rehearsal.
First rehearsal.
Say, when is this first rehearsal?
Why?
You ought to notify the governor so he can declare martial law.
Agnes, by some fantastic miracle, the American theater has managed to survive so far without your advice. When the subject of our conversation turns to the cleaning of a chicken, we will solicit your opinion.
You're sweet.
Edwin, this is a big chance. Romeo and Juliet.
And with Catherine Cornell. She told me how she admires you.
She does?
Yes. In fact, she wondered why the handsome, dashing Montague had never done Romeo.
She did?
Yes, in fact, her exact words were, "He'll be the perfect Romeo for me. All he has to do is to shave off that beard."
Excuse me, I have a kumquat in the oven.
So Catherine Cornell wants me to shave off my beard.
Now,
Quiet! Do the traditions of the American stage mean so little to Catherine Cornell that with one word she is willing to cut off one of the few remaining landmarks of the theater?
Edwin.
Silence! To become just another blank face in this world of blank faces? Never! Never!
Well, that ends it. I tried, Lily.
Wait, Max. Edwin.
No!
It means Uncle Goodheart for the rest of your life.
Oh, Lily, stop it.
Mending a canary's broken wing.
Lily, for heaven's sake, take pity.
Next week it may be an Airedale with a sliver in his paw.
Lily, you're a thief.
Edwin, is it going to be Uncle Goodheart or this from Romeo and Juliet? Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Say it, Edwin, say it.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
'Tis but thy name that is my enemy.
What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor feet, nor arm, nor face.
Nor beard.
Nor beard. Nor beard.
Well, that's what it says in the play.
It does? Shakespeare said that?
Yes. Well, Edwin.
Nor beard.
Is it coming off, Edwin?
If that's the way Shakespeare wanted it, so shall it be.
Oh, Edwin.
I'll call Catherine and tell her.
Please. Now, if you'd excuse me, I'd like to be left alone. Alone to spend these last few remaining hours with it.
Edwin, we understand.
Thank you. But let no man say he ever sacrificed more for his art.
Is the magnificent beard coming off of the magnificent Montague? Join us again next Friday at the same time and find out what happens to the magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley, directed by Nat Hiken and written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily Boehm, Pert Kelton was Agnes. Included in tonight's cast were Anita Anton, Bob Hastings, John Griggs, and Bob Sweeney. Jack Ward at the organ, your announcer Don Pardo. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's Fun and Laughs next, when Ed Gardner stars as Archie the manager in Duffy's Tavern. Duffy won't be there as usual, but Archie and his remarkable friends are all on hand to provide customers with their own whimsical brand of humor. There's no cover charge at Duffy's Tavern. Just leave your dial right here on NBC. And for top listening this Sunday, NBC brings you another broadcast of The Big Show.
Now join the gang at Duffy's Tavern on NBC.
Hey everyone, this is OTR Rob welcoming you to another edition of The Big Show. This big show comes from November 19th, 1950. The episode, well, there's a lot of people on this show. Mindy Carson, Eddie Cantor, Bob Hope, a bunch of other people a lot of people from stage. But I wanted to talk about the place where the big show is being recorded from. And it's in a theater in Broadway. NBC decided that when they were developing the show, they would put it on Broadway. So my thinking is that they probably charged everyone who wanted to see this a buck to get in, because after all, Broadway, normally, you know, when you see a show, you pay for it, and you got to pay for it either in advance or at the box office, and which is weird because the theater had 3,000 people, 3,000 seats. So that meant 3,000 people could watch this show. That's a lot of money. But of course, the budget for the big show was $30,000 an episode, which meant they had multiple sponsors for that show. And every half hour, the sponsorship would change to three other new sponsors for the big show. So, it was an expensive thing to put on, and $30,000 back then would be more like $100,000 today. So anyway, so enjoy this episode of The Big Show, and I'll see you all back here next week.
You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Eddie Cantor.
Mindy Carson.
Harry Cromo.
Jimmy Durant.
Jose Ferrer.
Bob Hope.
Ray Middleton.
Evelyn Barden.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darling, is Tallulah Bankhead.
National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
The Big Show in America, the curtains of America. We're going to fill your parlor full of stars.
The Big Show, 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world. Brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at the same time as the Sunday feature of Five Show Festival, NBC's star-studded five-night-a-week program extravaganza. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in week number 3. And ready with another program starring the biggest names in show business. But it hasn't been easy, darlings. When big names get together, you should hear some of the big names they call each other. One complains the other has better lines, another is unhappy because the other has better songs, and this week, there was even a ridiculously petty fight over who should have the star dressing room. Well, imagine, of course, I won out, darling, that's it. However, being the great troopers that they really are, by the time we were ready to go on the air, our stars had straightened out all their trifling differences, and we are now one big, happy family.
Yeah, some happy family.
It's abdominal.
Oh,
I'm sure going to tell my agent.
Well, the theater was never like that.
The worst thing I ever had in my life. I'm going to tell
you. Oh, these actors are on the loose again. But I know how to handle them. I use diplomacy, finesse, gentleness. Will you please shut up? What's the matter now? I thought I had everything under control.
Oh, sure. Some control.
Now, Eddie, what are you talking about? Eddie Cantor, come over here and bring those eyes with you. Eddie! What's the matter now, darling?
Nothing. Nothing at all. All I know is I've been in show business 40 years. I've never been treated as badly as I have here today. Not even by Milton Berle. Why, when I went on his show, he not only stole my best jokes, but he stole my glasses so I couldn't even read the bad jokes he gave me. That's Burl.
You mean you don't like the jokes you're supposed to tell? The last one just got a laugh.
Yeah, but who got the laugh? Burl, see? That's two for him. That makes three.
Oh, Eddie.
And he's not even on the program. I've been in show business 40 years, and
well, how we mistreated you?
Oh, I'd rather not talk about it. You probably think it's nothing, but to me it's... Well, all I know is that a half hour before the show today, everybody in the cast got coffee with sugar.
And you got yours without sugar?
No, I got a pastrami sandwich and a bottle of cherry soda.
But what did you order?
A pastrami sandwich and a bottle of cherry soda.
So what?
See? I knew you'd think it was nothing, but believe me, those nothings add up. Everybody else got coffee and sugar except me. I just don't like to be discriminated against. I've been in show business 40
years. Yes, yes, you just told me. That makes 120.
I've seen it happen the same way. If you're a star, you've got to protect yourself. First, they take away your coffee and sugar. Then they take away your best jokes. Then your glasses. Then they take your name off the front of the theater. Then your agent can't get you any more work. And you spend all the money you've saved up. And your wife leaves you. And your daughter 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 leaves you. How many is that?
Four.
And your daughter leaves you. And then your son-in-laws throw you out. And you know what happens? You wind up on the street asking somebody if they can spare a dime for a cup of coffee with sugar.
But, Eddie, you didn't order coffee in the first place.
Just a minute. Hold the dialogue.
Oh, dear. Now it's trouble with Jimmy Durante. Okay, Jimmy. Okay, what's your beef?
I ain't got no beef. I ain't even got no pastrami sandwich.
But I didn't get any coffee.
So what are you complaining about? What kind of grounds is coffee? I got something to holler about.
Oh, actors, they're just like children, darling. Oh, excuse me, children. I take it back, darlings. All right, Jimmy, start hollering.
Well, I walks in here this morning with Eddie Cantor, and I'm wearing my Saturday best. I ain't been home all night. I'm a doll from the top of my Triholian hat to the bottom. I'm a doll from the top of my Tyrolean hat to the bottom. To the bottoms of my suede shoes with the gum soles. Juicy fruit. And I'm looking like a page right out of escrow.
Escrow? Oh, yes, darling, I remember. You and Eddie walked in together.
Yes, and you walks to us and you says, "Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Jimmy, darling. How are you, Jimmy, my sweet? You're looking swell, Jimmy." That's what hurts.
Hurts? Why, Jimmy?
Because you said good morning to Eddie first.
Because I said Eddie, did you hear that? Isn't that ridiculous?
No, not at all. He didn't even notice it until I told him. I've been in show business 40 years, and that's the way it starts. First they say hello to your second, then they say goodbye to your first, and then you're all washed up. Before I let myself get into a spot like that, I'd walk off the show.
Well, goodbye, Eddie. Sorry you can't be with us.
No, not me. Not me, Jimmy. I was protecting you. You ought to walk off the program if they're not showing you the proper deference.
That's the trouble with this show. Everybody's getting a different deference.
Yep. Jimmy, believe me, you're doing the wise thing. So long, kids. See you around.
Oh, Jimmy, come back here.
I'll read your jokes, Jimmy.
I will not. This is sabotage. Can't you wait till the body gets cold?
No, Jimmy, I need you on this show, and Eddie needs you.
I need him?
You see, Jimmy?
Too late. So long, Taloo. So long, Eddie. So long, Meritage. So long, Orchestra.
Oh, no. You can't have a show without Brandy. We don't care what anybody says. Oh, you can't have a show without Brandy.
Even if Tallulah was to do the hula hula.
Oh, you can't have a show without the Randy. You gotta have the fraudulent game. Here we got an orchestra that's loaded with brass. 27 violins to give it some class. Still, you gotta give them what a feel to the mat. You gotta give them Jimmy. There's no one greater. You gotta give them Jimmy.
Okay. Okay, I'm back by popular demand. With all the bums on this show, they need somebody that'll dress it up.
culture. It's too uncouth. And I got plenty of coot and culture. Culture and art in my life play quite a part. A great sculptor makes my spine chill. Give me high-class stuff, I just can't get enough. Show me any famous statue and I kill. I was standing in front of a statue of Venus de Milo the other day when a little old lady walked up, pointed to the statue and said, "You see, that's one hat. That's what happens when you bite your fingernails too much." Take my eyes off this script and I'm gone. But there's one guy called a thinker with his chin in his hand. I've been watching him for years and I just can't understand. What is the thinker thinking about? Why does he wrinkle his nose? Now, what is the thinker thinking about? Is he trying to remember where he left his clothes? Is it possible he don't know where his glasses are? Can it be that he's forgotten where he left his car? Now, what is the thinker thinking about? He's so quiet, maybe he's a snob. Now, I shouldn't butt in his business. I don't want to raise a fuss. It could be he's just waiting for a Greyhound bus. Now, what is the thinker thinking about? Why, it's time the bum got up and found a job. You know, I've always admired sculptors. Why, you know, I bumped into that famous sculptor who's... Why, you know, I bumped into that famous sculptor who carved statues on mountains, and I noticed... Shut up, Eddie, will you please? We'll have a talk in the wings later. Why, you know, I bumped into that famous sculptor who carved statues on mountains, and I noticed he was looking at me in an interested way. I said, "I'll bet you're thinking of carving my nose in a mountain." And he says, "No, I'm thinking of carving a mountain on your nose." You know, it gets me puzzled. I don't want to butt in. I don't want to butt in. I don't want to butt in this business. That's all right, Harry. Now, what is the thinker thinking about? Why, it's time the bum got up and found a job. Yes, sir. It's time the bum got up and found a job.
Jimmy! Jimmy! Jimmy, that was very good. Very good indeed.
Thank you, Tallulah. Coming from you, that's the pinnacle of success.
You mean the pinnacle, don't you, darling?
Pinnacle. I mean it in spades.
Jimmy, can I speak to you for a moment?
Well, I'm available. What is it, Eddie?
I don't want to make any trouble. But did you notice what she said when you finished your song?
Yes, yeah, she says I was very good.
Yeah, she said good. She didn't say you were the best. She didn't say you were better than anybody. She just said you were good. Best, better, good. You ran third.
Well, that's show business.
Miss Bankhead, I've been standing around here listening to those two elderly gentlemen arguing.
Oh, I suppose now I'm going to have trouble with you, Perry Como.
Well, you can't blame Miss Bankhead. In the first place, they gave me sugar, but no coffee.
You see that? Him, they gave sugar.
In the second place, I've got a song I'd like to sing, and I'm going to sing it right now.
Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo, I hear a polka and my troubles are through.
But just a minute, young man. You'll sing when I ask you to. And if you must know, you're on this program only because we had a little difficulty with Carmen Lombardo. As it was explained to me, there was a slight accident. Seems he gargled his throat with the shampoo and it took the wave right out of his voice. So please don't bother me. Go away.
Oh, Miss Bankhead, don't think I'm not grateful just to be on the same stage with the first lady of the theater.
Isn't he sweet? Perry, darling, stand next to me and I'll see that you're protected on this program. Here, sweet, you may hold my menthol inhaler.
Gee, thanks, Miss Bankhead. I hope you're not catching a cold.
So sweet and awesome.
It's nothing serious, darling. It's just that I feel that my throat is getting a little husky.
How can you tell?
Isn't he sweet? Here, you may hold my purse, too.
Oh, gee, thanks, Miss Bankhead.
Perry, can I speak to you for a minute?
Yeah, what is it, Eddie?
Look, Perry, I don't like to make trouble, see? I know you think you're doing pretty good with her, but I've seen this happen too many times. That's the way it starts. First, they make you hold their menthol inhaler. Then they make you hold their purse, and the first thing you know, you wind up holding the bag.
I don't care what I have to do. I just want to sing my song in a good featured spot in this show, that's all.
Look, son, let me tell you something. I've been in show business 40 years.
That's a total of 160.
Stars in the theater are treated according to seniority. How long have you been in show business?
Oh, about 10 years.
An amateur. Listen to me. What did you do before that?
I ran a little barbershop in Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania.
Well, I'll tell you, Perry, you just wait around and you can sing your song when you hear somebody holler, next. You were a barber. You know what next means?
Wait a minute. How about me, Miss Bankhead?
Oh, no, darling. Not a sweet young lady like you. You're not going to give us a bad time. Mindy Carson!
Well, I have a song I'd like to do, Miss Bankhead.
I didn't hear you, darling. What did you say?
I said I have a song and I'd like to do it.
Isn't she sweet? In due time, darling.
Well, no. I think I ought to do it next.
Next?
Hoop-de-doo. Hoop-de-doo. I hear a polka in my...
No, not now, Perry.
But you said next.
I was talking to Mindy Carson. Mindy, you're a charming little girl, and we're all anxious to hear your song, because I think you're one of the most delightful singers of your sex.
Hoop-de-doo, hoop-de-doo, I hear a poker.
Perry, stop that. I said sex.
Hoop-de-doo!
No, Perry, no down, boy.
I beg your pardon, Miss Bankhead, but may I offer a suggestion?
Jose Perry.
I have been listening to the raucous mewling of this infantile prattle with thinly veiled disdain, and I humbly offer a simple solution. Since there are so many, shall I say, stars on this program, why not bring them on alphabetically?
Oh, darling, I just thought of the most brilliant idea. Since there's so many, shall we say, stars on this program, why not bring them on alphabetically? And since there's no A, we'll start with B, as in Bankhead. Everybody agrees?
Just a minute. I don't agree.
Why not, Jimmy?
Because I don't even know what alphabetically means.
It just means it will appear according to the letters of the alphabet.
Oh, that's different. Then I go on second. A, D, C, B.
No, Jimmy. It's A, B, C, D.
New rules all the time.
We'll start at the top of the alphabet.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I don't like this whole thing. My name is Wilson. Meredith Wilson. By the time you get to me, Phil Harris will be playing my orchestra number in the next show.
Now, come now, Meredith. Wait your turn like everybody else. Now, don't be a dissenter. In union, there is strength.
My union's stronger than yours. Well, maybe I'm out of order, but a waltz is never out of order. So here's While We're Young. Play, men.
While we're young, none can refuse. big surprise shines before our eyes while we're young.
Meredith, magnificent as always.
Yeah, but how did Wilson get into the alphabet before Durante? Don't tell me it's ABWD.
Sorry, darling, it was a mistake.
See that it don't happen again. I'm next.
Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo.
I hear a...
No, Barry, please. Our next guest is Jose Ferrer.
Ferrer is ahead of Durante. Since when has PH come before D?
That's a doctor of philosophy, darling. This is hardly the time to be philosophical.
Philosophical? I thought we were doing an alphabetical.
Well, we are, Jimmy. And ladies and gentlemen, the first letter of the alphabet is A. A stands for America, first in all our hearts. Tonight we observe an anniversary of historical significance, an anniversary of deep, vital meaning to us all. To help make this observance a memorable one for every American, two great artists have joined us tonight. From the smash hit musical South Pacific comes Ray Middleton. From Hollywood and his triumphant success in Cyrano de Bergerac comes Jose Ferrer. Today, 87 years ago, almost to this hour, Abraham Lincoln delivered his great address at Gettysburg. And now in these troubled hours, it is with gratitude and solemn respect that we heed his words once more. Once again the tall, shambling figure rises. Once again he speaks the few, the immortal words.
87 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in the great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation, so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Stand.
freedom were born. Grant us, Lord, the courage and the strength of a
Jose, a more sincere and moving reading I've never heard. Congratulations to you, Meredith Wilson, and Ray Middleton.
I heard the applause of the multitude and I came running out. They must be clapping for me.
No, Jimmy, that was for Meredith Wilson, Jose Ferreira, and Ray Middleton.
You mean they hired a big star like this guy, Ray Middleton, just to sing one chorus?
That's the way we do things on this program, Jimmy. That's why it's a big show. And Ray Middleton, you were a dear to come over to sing for us.
It was a pleasure, Miss Bankhead.
Ray, just a minute. May I talk to you?
Yeah, what is it, Eddie?
I don't like to make trouble, but did you notice something, Ray? You she calls dear, everybody else she calls darling.
Well, I don't see anything wrong about that.
You don't see, of course you don't. I've been in show business 40 years.
Anybody keeping score?
Ray, I've seen it happen too many times. First they take away your darling. Then they take away your dear. Then they say, hey, you.
Hey, you, Catter.
See what I mean? Yes, Miss Bankhead?
Will you stop confusing our performers?
I'm not trying to confuse anybody. All I'm trying to say is that I'd like to be treated equally with everybody else. A little more equal if possible. Because, after all, I've been in show business 40 years... and I'd love to sing my song now.
The score is now 40 love.
Tennis, anyone?
Don't!
Jose, what was that for?
Nothing. I just noticed that I haven't anything to say here, and it seemed like a cue when you said 40 love. So I said, tennis, anyone? I mean, Tallulah is just a bit of a joke. In the theater, it makes a sort of a merry entrance, if you know what I mean.
Well, can you think of a merry exit, dear?
Can I see you for a minute, Jose?
What is it, Eddie?
I don't like to make any trouble, Jose, but first they take away your merry entrance. She won't let you say tennis, anyone. Then they give you the merry exit. And not only do you exit the stage, but pretty soon you have to exit the country and you wind up joining the Foreign Legion in Africa.
Tunis, anyone?
Jose, darling, we'll need you a little later in the show, so why don't you be a good boy and go downstairs and get yourself a sandwich?
Oh, very well. Tuna, anyone?
Look, wait a minute. I don't want to make any trouble, but I've been in show business 40 years, and there's one thing I've learned. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Big Show. This is the National Broadcasting Company Sunday Extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. This portion of the program is the Sunday feature of NBC's star-studded five-show festival of comedy, music, drama, and mystery, presented five nights a week and brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anison,
for fast relief from pain of headache, uritis, and neuralgia. The big stars in this program are Eddie Cantor, Mindy Carson, Perry Como, Jimmy Durante, Jose Ferrer, Bob Hope, Ray Middleton, Evelyn Barton, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and every week, your glamorous hostess, Miss Tallulah Bankhead.
Yes, darlings, we have so many stars on this show and so much temperament flying around that it's taken all the restraint and patience I can muster to make sure that everyone gets his fair share of the spotlight. Now, darlings, you've all heard the old song, Wish Upon a Star. What I wish upon these stars shouldn't happen to anyone. Not even to Betty Davis. Well, we finally compromised, and each star has agreed to appear alphabetically. So we present next...
Hup-de-doo, hup-de-doo.
Perry Como, didn't you just hear me say alphabetically?
Yes, but you told me I was going to sing my song when somebody said next.
No, darling, Eric Cantor only told you that when he found out you once ran a barber shop. Now, will you please go backstage and wait your turn?
Oh, now, look, I've got nothing to do back there. I've already played all my hit records twice.
Well, go play some of Sinatra's hit records.
I already played that one.
Well, go cut somebody's hair.
Hey, that's an idea. Next.
Now we present in alphabetical order a man who's been in show business for 3 years.
Say, Tarua, is it my turn now?
No, Jimmy, it is not. I've already explained to you. I'll call you when I want you.
How long will it be?
Not too long, darling.
Okay, Perry, just a haircut. And not too short, darling.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce at this time a man who's been in show business 40 years.
40 years. Don't tell me Crosby's on the show.
Bob Hope!
I'll take charge now. Move over, darling.
Robert, you weren't here before, but everyone on the big show has agreed to appear in alphabetical order.
Oh, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob Aronson, double A.
Hope, leave this stage until I call for you.
Don't you lower your voice to me. I knew you when you were Lewis Calhern.
Darling, why don't you hit the road backstage?
Not me. One more haircut and I look like Peter Lynn Hayes. I look like Mary Healy as it is.
Well, now, look, we have a show to do here, darling, and if we don't get it along, we'll have every vice president of the place on our necks.
Hoop-de-doo, hoop-de-doo.
No, Perry, not yet.
What was that? It sounded like the mating call of a mashed potato. What was it?
Now, look, Bob, darling, why don't you just sit here and watch the show until it's your turn? Here's a script, darling. I'll have somebody read it to you.
Yep. Watch this show? No, thanks. I'll be back later. I'm going across the street and watch the original.
The original of what?
Betty Davis and All About Eve.
I mustn't even think. I'll repeat that. I mustn't even think of calling him what I'm thinking. And so, darlings, on with the schmo. Oh, I mean on with the show. So, at long last, it is my pleasure to introduce a man who has been in show business 40 years.
42 years. I've aged 2 years since you started introducing me.
Eddie Cantor!
Well, I'm back on radio again, and it's like coming home. In my book, radio is still big time, like this big show. But I remember the early days of radio. It was back in 1930, exactly 20 years ago, that I started my first program. It was an hour show every Sunday night for a coffee company. Since then, a new generation has sprung up, but some of you may remember. I love to spend this Sunday with you as friend to friend. I hope you do too. Yes, those were the days, gosh. Remember Jimmy Wallington, my announcer? He's still doing very well, you know. And remember Rubinoff and the magic of his violin? He's doing very well, too, under the name of Evelyn. Gosh, when I started in radio,
The Lone Ranger was just a Boy Scout. John had only one wife, and Duzz was too young to do it. Oh, yes. And we had some wonderful jokes in those Chasing Sanborn days. I remember the one about the psychiatrist. Woman went to the psychiatrist and said, "You must do something for my boy. He thinks he's a chicken." Psychiatrist said, "What makes you think so?" She says, "He goes around the house clucking all day. He keeps pecking at his food." Psychiatrist says, "Bring him in here. I'll convince him he's not a chicken." She says, "Oh, we can't do that. We need the eggs." And then I told the one about the woman at the Astor Hotel with a lot of bundles in her arms. She turned to me and she said, "Would you mind holding the door open, Sonny?" I said, "Sonny," I said, "Madam, I'd like to have you know I'm the father of five girls." She said, "Would you mind repeating that?" I said, "Not if I can help it." Ah, yes. But a comedian, no matter how funny, is dependent entirely on his material. Night after night, you go to bed hoping you'll dream up a new gag, a screamingly funny line. There's no sleep. No sleep for any of us. Always there's a pounding, pounding in your brain. Who was that lady I seen you with? Jokes. Jokes pounding in my brain again. Jokes, jokes, riddles to explain again. Farmer jokes, drummer jokes. These are cold, those are hot. Winter jokes, summer jokes, summer jokes, summer not. When the program has been done, another program is begun. Jokes, jokes. Find the subject, start to kid it. Soon you find that Wynn did it, Durante did it, even Danny Thomas did it, Groucho did it, Hope did it, the guy who's selling soap did it. If you hit on something good, they grab it up in Hollywood. Harris, funny fellow, does it. Learn that Abbott and Costello does it. Then it's kicked from coast to coast, refusing to give up the ghost. Soon it's dead, out of date, no one dares to do it. Wait, who's has found a novel twist that the other minds had missed? So it's polished up, and then the vicious cycle starts again. Wynn does it, Durante does it, even Danny Thomas does it, Groucho does it, Hope does it, the guy who's selling soap does it. Gag, pun, kids today are reared on it. Joke, pun, each one has a beard on it. Find a new one, pull a killer, someone hollers, "That's Joe Miller." Jokes, puns, quips, gags, comics, critics, stooges, wags, laughs, 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 laughs. But from now on I'll be tough on guys who want to steal my stuff. And to my fellow comics this challenge I hurl. Let's go and steal our jokes back from Mr. Milton Berle. And all the songs that we sang in those days. That's it, Meredith. Josephine and Joe were so in love, oh, so in love, so much in love. In the hall for hours they would stay. When Josephine came in, she'd hear her mother say, "Josephina, please no Lena, I'm the bell. When you mush, please no push the bell." I heard Mrs. Caruso telling Mrs. O'Flynn, "Somebody keeps ringing, but nobody comes in. You can squeeze all you please, that's all right. But don't keep us from sleep every night. When you make love in the hall, stay away from the wall. Josephina, please, Olina, I'm the bell." Oh, you come up from work and you wanted a sup. I'm a cook of the nice macaron. Then you make you sit down. Then you make you get up for your fella he call on the phone. Or you go to the park and you sit in the dark and you make what I call it a pet. It's a lipstick here, it's a lipstick there, you know, get it from eating spaghetti. Oh, you say goodnight about 11 o'clock, that's what a good gal should do. But you take it too long when you say goodnight, you don't finish till 2:30. Say, why you not bring your fellow stairs, ravioli with peppers I cook? You can make it a love with a kiss and a hug and a mom and a father and a look. Don't I bring you one when I make you fat with a soup and a pasta fazool? But you stay up until late and I make you thin, what's the matter, you making me fool? Why, you don't get married and raise the fam, then I make you the promise I keep. I'll buy you the furniture and pay for the rent, and we all can get us some sleep. Josephina, please, Olina, I'm the bell. When you mush, please, no push at the bell. You could have so much fun with that son of a gun. But Josephina, please, Olina, I'm the bell. Yes, that was radio, and it began to grow up. And radio will continue to grow. So if you got a piece of furniture around the house that you've been neglecting, dust it off, turn the knob, that's your radio. There's plenty of life in it yet, and there always will be. Radio has stood you in good stead all these years, all the entertainment you got out of it. And remember those anxious years through the war when we huddled close to it to hear a word of comfort? It was the only link we had with our loved ones overseas. It brought us VE Day, VJ Day, and it will always continue to bring again, sing again, the things you wanted to. It loves to spend an hour with you.
If you'd like to know a quick, easy way to ease the pain of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, then by all means try Anacin. Your own dentist or physician may, at one time or another, have handed you an envelope containing Anacin tablets. Then you already know how incredibly fast and effectively Anacin brings relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. For your own sake, try Anacin. Anacin is sold to you on this guarantee. If the first few tablets do not give you all the relief you want as fast as you want it, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. You can get Anacin tablets at any drug counter. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
And now, darling, we would like to present...
Now... Chaloo?
No, Jimmy, darling, not yet. It's alphabetical. Carson, Como, and then Durante. Can't you read the script? Just follow the text.
Hoop-de-doo, hoop-de-doo.
No, Perry, it's not your turn to sing. We're going to hear from Mindy Carson.
Here I am, Miss Bankhead.
Oh. Mindy, darling. Mindy, darling, this is Jimmy Durante, darling. Jimmy, darling, this is Mindy Carson, darling.
How do you do, Miss Darling?
How do you do? But my name is Carson.
Oh, how do you do? I know your father, Jack Carson.
Oh, then you must know my uncle, Dennis Morgan.
No, I don't believe I do.
I don't know Dennis Morgan, Mindy, but I know Dennis King.
You know Dennis King? I thought you was Dennis King.
Now, we've been through 3 rehearsals of this show, and I still don't understand that line. Don't get it at all. My sweet, dear Mindy... I just noticed how your lovely hairdo. Was it Pierre?
No, Perry.
Sing your song, dear, whatever it is.
It's my new RCA Victor recording. Looks like a cold, cold winter. Looks like a cold, cold winter. Plenty of ice and snow, but we'll keep the love light in our hearts aglow. Looks like a long, long winter. Baby, what do we care? As long as we have our other hearts to share. It's gonna be cold outside, gonna be warm inside, so we'll cuddle up by the cozy fire. Side by side, looks like a cold, cold winter. Summer is far away. Until then, I love you more and more each day. Looks like a cold, cold winter. Baby, what do we care? As long as we have each other's love to share. It's gonna be cold outside, gonna be warm inside. So we'll cuddle up by the cozy fire. Side by side, looks like a cold, cold winter. Summer is far away. Until then, I love you more and more.
Lovely, Mindy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a great admirer of your singing talent.
Oh, thank you, Miss Bankhead.
I sing, too, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh. Didn't you hear last week's show, darling?
Yes, I did.
Well, don't be difficult here. I mean, tell me what you thought.
Well, I'd like to come back on the show, Miss Bankhead.
No. Darling, are you implying that I'd have you taken off the show because you didn't like my singing? Speak up, child. You can give me your honest, frank opinion. Besides, there are other shows, you know. Did you hear me sing?
Yes, I did.
Well?
Not very.
Give my regards to Sammy Kay next week. All performers are like petty jealousies. I remember a few years ago, I was about to open a play. I asked a friend of mine to come to see me at the rehearsal. I wanted her frank and honest opinion of my performance. So I called her up the day of the dress rehearsal.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, darling. Is that you?
Who's that?
It's me.
Who?
Me.
Oh, it's you. Hello, darling.
Darling, would you do me a great favor?
What, Tallulah?
Now, could you drop everything right away and come to my dress rehearsal tonight?
Your dress rehearsal?
Yes, dear.
I thought it was this afternoon.
No, dear, it's tonight.
Well, what did you do, postpone it?
No, dear, it's always been tonight.
I thought it was this afternoon.
No, dear, it's tonight.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, darling, everything's the matter. The play's terrible, and I'm terrible, and my clothes are terrible. I suppose I'm so close to it that I can't get any perspective on it. And I want a fresh point of view, and I want someone who's never seen it and who doesn't know anything. I mean, anything about this particular play. And I want someone I can believe and who'll really tell me the truth. So you will come, won't you, darling?
Well, I'd love to, but I would...
Oh, that's wonderful, darling. You're saving my life. Now, look. I want you to watch everything, every little single thing. Have you got a paper and pencil there?
Yes, I have.
Well, now write these things down, darling, so you won't forget them. Now have a good look at my yellow dress. I know it makes me look as fat as a pig. And watch my makeup. The lighting is ghastly.
But listen, now, I want to ask you
yes,
something.
I know. Now, what is it? And wash my hands. Now, tell me if I move them about too much. And watch the scene on the sofa.
Yes, but how will I get
out of... particularly watch my scene with the door in the second act. I'm afraid it doesn't get over. It's one of those little symbolic bits, and I don't know yet what it means. Nobody knows. So watch it, darling.
Yes, but how will I
get... Now, watch everything I do, darling. And come back to my dressing room afterwards, and we'll go over the whole thing together, huh? Oh, you're an angel to do this. 8 o'clock sharp, and I'll see you afterwards, huh? Goodbye. Oh, I'm exhausted, Rose. I don't want to see anyone except that woman who's coming to talk to me about the play. She's been taking notes. It's very important. Is she back yet? Well, where is she? Why isn't she here? I am here. What's she doing? Well, when she comes in, keep everyone else out. I'm exhausted. I don't know how I look as well as I do.
You!
Oh, there she is, darling. Come in. Let her in, Rose. Oh, darling, it's too wonderful of you. Have a drink. Get a drink, Rose. Get a cigarette. Where's the chair? Now, look, darling. Now, sit down and tell me everything. Have you got your notes? Is the light all right? Oh, you're such an angel. Rose, you stand outside and don't let anyone else in. Tell them I'm gone. Tell them I've left the premises. Now.
Now, you know, darling.
Yes, dear.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I thought.
Oh, well, of course, that's what I want. You don't know what it means to me, darling, having you do this. You know how it is. I mean, we're all so close to it, and people just say, oh, you're marvelous. That isn't what I want. Anyone can say, oh, you're marvelous. I don't want to know what's marvelous. I want to know what is wrong. You know what I mean.
Very, very well. Now, first...
How'd you like my clothes, darling?
Well, they were all right. Now, first...
Didn't you like them?
Yes, they were all right, except that yellow dress, and you were right about that. It does make you look fat.
Well, does it make me look fat?
All over, dear.
Where were you sitting?
Down front.
Oh, well, that was it. It looks all right from further back, darling. That's what it was designed for. It's meant to be seen in perspective. You can't get the proper effect at all when you're so close, you know.
I see. Now, about your first entrance.
Oh, how was my scene at the door?
Well, you were right about that, too. It didn't get over.
How do you mean it didn't get over?
It wasn't very clear, dear. I didn't know what you were doing.
You didn't know what I was doing? Are you sure you're thinking of the right scene? I mean the one in the second act, after he goes. And I go up and hurl myself against the door and sob. Just once, of course, you see. And then stand and turn the knob gently back and forth as if I could still feel his hand on it. Didn't you get anything from that at all? You didn't?
No, dear. I just thought the door had stuck.
Where were you sitting?
In the same seat.
I mean, you weren't on the side.
No, dear, I was in the center.
Well, I only asked because I thought perhaps you might have seen it from a bad angle. Do you think maybe the door was too far off stage?
No, dear, the door was perfectly all right.
Well, you know, I think you must be wrong about that. You know, if I thought you weren't, I'd be the very first to say so, but I think you're wrong, darling. You see, I've studied that scene. I've studied it from every angle, and I think the way I play it is the only way to play it. But it may not have been awfully clear to you, dear. It's subtle. No, I think that scene's all right. Now, tell me about my hands, darling. Did I move them too much?
A little, I thought.
Where?
In the scene where you listen to the will, you should sit perfectly still there.
I do sit perfectly still there, as I remember. Don't I?
No, dear. You move your hands constantly.
Well, I can't stop breathing. I can't be absolutely motionless.
You should be.
Why?
Because then you'd stand out, dear. And as it is, you distract.
From what?
From the play, dear. Don't you see, darling, if you just sat there and did absolutely nothing at all, you would stand out as the one calm figure on the stage.
Well, I just don't agree with you, darling, that's all. I mean, I have to do something while he's making that long speech. And anyway, darling, I don't move my hands. I merely twist the handkerchief. As a matter of fact, that's the one scene where I've been careful of my hands. No, all I meant was there any place where I did move them too much?
No.
Oh, well, how was the play as a whole?
I thought it dragged and spot.
Well, now, do you really think you can judge any play in rehearsal? Don't you think you have to see it with an audience?
Maybe.
How was my makeup?
Marvelous.
How was the scene on the sofa?
Marvelous.
Oh, how's the scene with the doctor?
Perfectly marvelous.
Oh, that's a terribly funny scene, isn't it?
Terribly funny.
Oh, you know, darling. I can hardly read some of those lines. We all used to laugh so much. My dear, we nearly died. Oh, but how was the first act curtain?
Perfectly marvelous.
Well, then you don't think I have a thing to worry about?
Not a thing in the world, darling.
Oh, darling, isn't that perfectly marvelous?
Perfectly marvelous.
You're very kind, darling. The title of that charming vignette was A Matter of Perspective, and it was written by a talented actress and writer, Miss Patricia Collins, and was dramatized by special permission of the New Yorker magazine. The part of my friend was played by the distinguished actress of the New York stage, Miss Evelyn Varden, who is currently appearing on Broadway in Hilda Crane.
Here's a word from RCA Victor. If you love plays, how would you like to be not just a first-nighter, but an every-nighter without ever standing in a ticket line? If you love music but live far from the metropolitan aria area, how would you like to hear and see the great singers of our time anyway without even taking a train? If you love boxing, how would you like to see the major matches so close up you can see the twinkling of every black eye? It could go on forever. The list of fun you'll enjoy once you visit your RCA Victor dealers and choose your television set from 18 beautiful new RCA Victor million-proof models. Whichever RCA Victor set you choose, you'll get such beautiful styling you'll have to send out for new adjectives to describe it. And you'll get that peerless engineering quality which has made RCA Victor Television far and away America's favorite. The proven pride of over 1 million families. Follow their lead tomorrow. 1 million American families can't be wrong.
Now, let me see. Cantor, Carson.
Say, Miss Bankhead.
Yes, Meredith, darling.
I sure like that part you just took off about the actress who called up her friend about her fat yellow dress.
Yes, darling. And now, if you don't mind.
It reminded me of the time back in Mason City, Iowa. That's my hometown, you know. And I was playing in the high school band. Mason City High School. That's in Mason City.
How convenient.
Yes. Well, sir, I played the piccolo. That's a very difficult instrument, the piccolo. Aren't many people who can play the piccolo. Matter of fact, there aren't many people who want to play the piccolo. Piccolo's a wind instrument.
And who isn't, darling?
Exactly. Well, sir, there was a fella sitting on one side of me, played a triple tongue on the cornet, and he was a junior. And the fella on the other side of me, he was playing double tongue on the cornet. He was only a sophomore.
Meredith, if you don't get on with this revolting little saga...
Well, sir, one day the band was playing Coming Through the Rye, and there I was sandwiched in between these two cornet players. The triple tongue fellow on one side and the double tongue fellow on the other. And there I stood with my piccolo.
Now, that's very funny, darling. Now, if you'll just go...
Well, if you think that's funny, where will I get to the funny part? You see, I asked my friend Ernie to come down and see if he could hear my piccolo between the triple-tongue cornet and the double-tongue cornet. That's Ernie Wagner, not to be confused with Ernie Byer, who ran the drugstore back in Mason City. Ernie Byer didn't know much about music. He didn't know much about drugs, either. I remember one day old Lady Frisbee had a prescription filled, and Doc Byer, we used to call him Doc. I never did know why.
Isn't this awful?
Yes. He doesn't stop up for wet cement in his piccolo.
Bob Hope, am I glad you're back. Meredith, you can run along.
Bob Hope?
Well, Milton DeLug. I expected more back here, you know.
No, Bob, I'm Meredith Wilson.
Either way, you're not going to get the Carnegie Hog. Durante. Speak up. I got it. All right. I have a coach from the dramatic school. Speak up, boy. What's on your mind? I'll make it fast. I'm doing a benefit in 20 minutes for the members of your band.
Well, you know, Mr. Hope, I'm a big fan.
What's that?
I say, I'm a big fan.
Yes, you have.
I even listen to you when you're on Bing Show.
Oh, Bing Show. Oh, yes. One of the Gary Crosby Enterprises, yes.
Well, sir, I was just telling Miss Bankhead a story that happened back in Mason City, Iowa.
Meredith, you're not going to continue that nauseating little yarn about the time you ate a triple-decker tongue sandwich on rye.
This Big Show is getting smaller every minute. You know, it's time for the old pro to step in, old reliable himself. Introduce me, will you, Tulu?
Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Henrik.
I'm doing real great here so far. I'm a straight man for a station break. Say, would you mind if I slipped a few gems in here, or are you warming Maury Amsterdam up in the bullpen?
All right, darling. But I must give you an introduction befitting your stature.
Well, now you're talking.
I'll give you a big, fat introduction.
Wear your yellow dress, chubby.
Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, we on the Big Show feel we're extremely lucky to have luck.
Watch your language.
Oh, excuse me, darling. Ladies and gentlemen, we on the Big Show feel we're extremely Chesterfield to have with us Bob. Bob, he brought all our boys laughs and good cheer by riding a Jeep all through Korea, and now can't sit down on his sofa, Hope.
That
Thank you very much, DeLulu. I have 600 or 700 jokes here. I'll tell them in alphabetical order. I want to tell you it's a great thrill to be on this big show, ladies and gentlemen, with all the stars. We've got enough stars here for a congressional investigation. Isn't it wonderful? They have everything. You should see the orchestra here. It looks like Petrillo's wedding. And they have... they have another fellow here running around with some headphones on. He's listening to see how the other networks are doing. I'm finally glad to get on the mic alone, too. I've been sitting over in that couch for 3 days. Can you imagine being on a couch for a half hour with Jose Ferrer? He didn't do a thing for me. And vice versa. And he keeps calling me Cyrano. What a parlay. Jose Ferrer, Durante, and me. They ought to call this show Three Noses East. The couch looks like the waiting room in a plastic surgeon's office. I really enjoyed it here with Eddie Cantor. He looks wonderful at his age. And I love that. I love Jimmy Durante. Wasn't he wonderful up here? I love the way he works. I made a mistake and went to school. But I want to tell you that this is really the most wonderful show with all these stars. This is either going to break Jack Benny or the Rockefellers. But you were right, Tallulah. Our little band of stage-struck gypsies didn't take a jeep ride through Korea. But we only took the short ride. We saw a lot of kids over there riding jeeps, tanks, and jets from Pusan to Manchuria. You know, it's a rugged war, but when we need it, ruggedness is made in America. And our boys are proving it over in Korea. Man, how we traveled on that trip. We were on instruments for hours going through rain, sleet, wind, fog, and snow. I'll never forget that bus ride to the Los Angeles airport. But we visited a lot of spots. Honolulu, Guam, Tokyo, Korea, and the Aleutian Islands. Wherever people smoke Chesterfields. 15,000 miles because I didn't read the small print in my contract. Honolulu was a beautiful spot. As a tourist pulls in the Honolulu Harbor, they put a lay of flowers around his neck and say, "Welcome to the paradise of the Pacific, Aloha." Translated, that means, boy, is this going to cost you. Isn't that a wonderful audience? They're still frozen there from the last Sonya Henie show. But I loved Honolulu. Godfrey spent a few weeks there this summer teaching the natives how to play the ukulele. Now, did you know Godfrey's in the Navy? They had to let him in. He threatened to buy his own. Godfrey is really a big operator, in fact, over at that other place. They told me to read it that way. Over at that other place, when they mentioned Godfrey's name, they dropped the last syllable. You know, I can't wait. It's only an hour and a half. When we landed. But back to the trip. You know, when we landed at Okinawa, I was met by a native hand. Band. I was, thank you. I stuck out my hand and said, "Bob Hope, USA." Lita said, "Bongo Bongo, MCA." I was around there during the last war. I went ashore with the second wave at Saipan. First one was married. Wave, that's an old salt with a new shaker. But you know, somehow... takes a long while to get up there, doesn't it? First time I've ever worked to a layer cake. You know, somehow... balcony. You gotta get a sore neck in this place. You know, somehow this trip was different from the others I've been on. The GIs are so much more polite. In the last war, they treated me rough and tough. But now every time I land at an airfield, they throw a shawl around me and help me over the puddles. What's a joke? I never should have borrowed a writer from Mont Perkins. But I want to say that we're very indebted to the Air Force for flying us around in this little junket. We had a smooth trip over. First, we flew at an altitude that didn't bother me, but we had to go up higher because the salt water was ruining the tires. Well, we were going about 300 miles an hour when I looked out and saw what I thought was a flying saucer. It turned out to be my stomach going in the other direction. But you know, I was thinking today, with those fast planes and atomic bombs, I sometimes think we're moving at too mad a pace. Wouldn't it be awful if the Republicans got in just as the world went out? Well, it was a wonderful trip, and what a reception we got in Tokyo. You should have heard the screams when I got off the plane. I unfastened the wrong belt. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we have to worry about the Korean War anymore. Warner Brothers has alerted Humphrey Bogart. No, I'm just being a little whimsical. Very little. The government has the situation pretty well in hand right now. That's why I don't like the word taxes. What it all adds up to is an insurance policy for peace. And I'm happy to be paying premiums. And that's what I like about this big show. They pay so well. But with new taxes, I'm going to have my salary sent directly to the government. That way we eliminate the middleman. Me. I'll never complain about taxes, though. I know you can't take it with you. I'd just like to look at it while I'm here. But higher taxes doesn't really matter because money is getting so it has little value. The other night at the store club, I pulled out a $5 bill and Lincoln said, "Please, not here. I look so shabby."
I must say, you were superb.
I know, it's in my contract. Now, Tallulah, how about the loot? The money, huh?
That's not my department, darling.
Well, the money's not really for me. I'm taking up a collection for Tammany Hall. But really, what about the money? How do we get paid here, in cash?
No, darling, we all get checks.
Hoop-de-doo!
That is my...
Why, his voice is changing.
Now, shut up, Bob. I must introduce Perry Como. He's going to sing now.
Just a minute. Excuse me. I'd like to talk to you, Bob. Can I see you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. If it's about one of your daughters, I'm already married. And if it's about a son, you can't adopt me.
Yeah. No, Bob, what I have to tell you is for your benefit. I've been in show business 40 years.
It wasn't for my benefit.
No, I'm serious, Bob. I don't like to make any trouble, but I don't know if you noticed it, but I sang a song on this program, Durante sang, and now we're going to have Como sing. Why don't you sing, Robert?
Eddie, if you're going to make trouble for me again...
No, I'm not making trouble. I've been in show business 40 years. I'm only trying to protect this boy.
Thank you, Grandma Moses.
No, don't joke about it. I've seen it happen too many times. First they take away your song, then they take away your jokes... Then you take your name off the theater, and the first thing you know, you wind up as an old movie on television.
Yeah, I've seen your television show. You know, Eddie, TV is a pretty tough racket for an old-timer. How do you feel? You don't look it.
Give me a chance, will you?
Me
if
too.
I had my other muscles with me, that's it.
Ida!
She's rehearsing.
Yep.
If you feel anything, cut in, honey. Go ahead.
I'm just about to, brother.
Well, I went to my doctor last week.
Where
for
is that? Oh, yes,
we're
of
here.
Course.
Yes, Bob.
We're getting back to this stuff. Oh. Yes, I see.
I went to my doctor last week for a checkup. He said I look better on fluoroscope than I do on TV.
He's not a doctor. He's a critic.
Yep.
Isn't he funny?
What are you wearing, a feathered girdle?
No. If it's about one of your daughters, I'm already married. Come in quickly, Eddie. There it is, baby.
Tallulah, we're on page 38. Why don't you get a crew cut so you can see the script? Say, what are you saying about television, Eddie?
Well, it's a tough business. As if I didn't have enough troubles, Ida came on my last show. I gave her one line, and she loused it up. But now she's state-struck. There she is back there now. Hello, Ida!
You're waving at Durante.
Yep. Oh, Oh.
Now, look here. If everybody's through waving at his wife and five daughters, he can kindly take three giant steps back from this microphone. There's a little unfinished business I'd like to attend to about a song.
Well, if you insist, for my first number, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to sing an old English madrigal. I'll be suing you.
I don't mean you, Bob. Pick it up. Since the show began, now you listen to me, Bob and Eddie. I've been trying to do a song, and I'm going to sing it now.
You're going to sing?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a foghorn could get a union card. What are you singing, Asleep in the Deep?
No, it's Give My Regards to Broadway. The first week when I sang it, there were some letters complaining that I was off key.
Oh, don't mind them. I wrote them in a fit of temper.
Well, then last week, that adorable, ridiculous Groucho March... Mark, ad-libbed so much we didn't have time to finish the song. Now, I want you to listen to me, Bob, and I want your frank and candid opinion.
Okay, I'll go stand by that open window. If I'm lucky, I may fall out.
This is your note, Miss Bankhead.
Thank you very much. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there think, darling.
You just heard Miss Salula Bankhead in a beautiful rendition of Give My Regards to 7th Avenue.
To Broadway.
You're still a block away.
Isn't he funny? Godfrey's talent scouts went that way.
Hey, that joke's bad enough to be on television. Come to think of it, so are you.
Please, Bob, Tallulah, two stars of your magnitude bickering in public, it's not nice, and I'll tell you why.
You're right, Eddie. I'm sorry, Tallulah. I apologize.
But I've been in show business 40 years.
Oh, no, Bob. You're not going to get the audience on your side by being big about it and apologizing. I'm as big as you are.
Bigger.
Oh.
And in those 40 years, I've always treated my fellow actors an equal, except when it came to Billy.
But don't worry, Miss Bankhead. I don't mind apologizing. I can take it. I have broad shoulders.
Darling, you're patting your paws.
Look who's talking about patting.
Bob!
In spite of my 40 years in show business, I am basically a family man. I remember when my first daughter was born.
Bob, I like you much better when you wore a mustache and called yourself Jerry Colonna. Well, no offense, men, of course.
I liked you much better than All About Eve. Offense, men, of course.
My first daughter's name was Marjorie, and then came my second daughter, Natalie.
Bob, if you're referring to Betty Davis, I happen to be one of her fondest admirers. I see all her pictures time and again.
How else can you learn?
The next year came Edna.
Robert, that was a cruel, cruel thing to say. I have been acclaimed in the theater for my portrayals of Bitterroot's Men. There is Tallulah Bankhead, the actress, but there is another Tallulah Bankhead, the woman, and you have hurt her deeply.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I was only...
Oh, no, Bob, don't say it. There's nothing you can say. The wound was too deep, and I shall carry the scar forever.
Oh. Gee, kid, I'm sorry I said it.
You know, I think you're one of the great actresses of our time.
Yeah, quite a performance, wasn't it? Let Betty Davis top that. I'm the original. She came after me by 1 year. That was an ad lib.
And then came Marilyn.
Say, that was a great performance, Salou. You really booby-trapped me with that little tearjerker. You know, I'm thinking of doing a picture, and I'd love to have you for my leading lady.
Ah, you're joking.
I've been trying to, but your writers got here before mine. I'm serious now. There's a wonderful dramatic part in this picture for you, Salou. I play the part of Pete Johnson, and you're my wife, and you decide to leave me, and you try to take our dog and her litter of puppies with you. But I won't give them up. And that's where you have a very dramatic speech, where you try to make Pete give you the dog and the puppies. Show me how you deliver that speech.
All right, darling. Peter, give me the litter. Oh, what am I saying?
I could do a little tricking myself, you know.
The next year, I went on the road.
Mark, this is silly of you to try to start a feud between Betty and me. If the truth were known, you know that we are the best of friends, Betty Davis and I.
I know, Tulu. I saw Bet before I left Hollywood, and she told me that when I got to New York, I should call you.
Really, darling?
But I can't tell you what.
And then came Janet.
Oh. Bob, I don't believe that. Betty and I have always been very frank with each other. There's nothing, nothing I say behind her back that I wouldn't say to her face. Either one of them.
And then came Prohibition.
Oh, Betty, we've neglected you. What have you been saying, darling?
I've been in show business. I've been in show business. Give me his pages. Show business 40 years.
Well, this is where I came in. So long, Tulu.
Oh, no, wait, Bob. No, wait. The show isn't over. We've had a most charming little chat, and I'd like to talk to you some more before you leave, huh?
Okay, I'll go up to the dressing room and wash off the blood. I'll have a rub down and a massage. Will you join me?
See you later, Bob.
Say, Como, a rub down and a massage.
Hey, Bob, wait. Wait, I'll go with you. I don't like to make any trouble, but that's the way it always happens. You see, first they give you a massage, then they rub you out altogether. You know what I mean?
Now, let me see. I should have Terry Como on my list. I'd better let him sing his song now.
Now, Tulu?
No, I'm sorry, Jimmy. Terry Como is ahead of you in the alphabet.
There's only 52 letters in the alphabet, not counting the jokers. And I'm getting lost in a shuffle.
No, you're not, darling. Terry Como is going to sing right now.
Como, since when does K come before D?
Como is spelled with a C.
Oh, Perry Somo. Why didn't you say so? I'll be back later.
All right. Terry Como, you're next.
Well, it's about time.
I'm sorry you had to wait this long. Did you have a bad time, Mommy?
Oh, no, no. I've been doing very well. Counting tips. I sold a few packages of Chesterfield, you know.
Oh, I'm glad. Now, tell me, Perry, have you made any new records lately?
I just cut a fella's hair backstage in 1 minute and 4 seconds flat.
No, my pet. I mean your recording.
Oh, you mean my RCA Victor records. So they're selling like hotcakes.
Really? Well, I must try that sometime, darling. How do you do that? You put the butter between two records and pour the syrup on top?
Well, you try it that way while I sing Patricia. Hmm?
Okay, darling.
Patricia, my darling Patricia, I can see all my dreams in your eyes. Your smile is as gay as a bright summer day. You're much fairer than Erin's blue skies. Oh, Patricia, my lovely Patricia, you could make all my dreaming come true. My heart is just drooling, Patricia, no fooling, I'm falling in love with you.
Oh, Patricia, my darling Patricia, I can see all my dreams in your eyes.
Your smile is as gay as a bright summer day. You're much fairer than Erin's blue sky.
Oh, Patricia, my lovely Patricia, you could make all my dreaming come true.
My heart is just drooling.
Patricia, no fooling.
I'm falling in love with you.
Thank you.
my lovely Patricia. You could make all my dreaming come true. My heart is just drooling, Patricia, no fooling. I'm falling in love.
I'm falling in love.
I'm falling in love with you.
Harry, I like it that way.
Oh, now? Toulouse?
Not now. Yeah, oh, yes, now, Jimmy.
Oh, I thought so, but you ain't getting me to follow that kid.
Why not?
Because I don't want to show up as Bush. By the way, kid, let me give you a little bit of advice.
Yes, Mr. Durante?
I've been in show business 40 years. I kind of like you, kid. You give a good haircut. What's that with the song you just sang?
Oh, you mean Patricia?
Patricia, that's no song for you. I'll give you one of mine. I got a million. How about singing I'm Jimmy the Well-Dressed Man? Of course, you'll have to change your name.
Well, why wouldn't I sing I'm Perry the Well-Dressed Man?
Well, that's the cowardly way out. On second thought, you couldn't sing it at all. Look at them clothes you're wearing. Look at my clothes.
Who's your tailor?
Oh, I wouldn't call him that.
I buy all my clothes at Saks Fifth Avenue.
I got a place that's twice as good, Saks Tenth Avenue.
Hey, come on, Como. How about that rub down? I'm freezing.
Finally got a line with Bob. Well, Toulouse, I guess I go on now.
Oh, but Jimmy, the time is running short. You won't be able to do yourself justice. Why don't you come back and be my guest some other time, huh?
Sure. Toulouse? Anytime, but none of that alphabetical stuff for me.
Why don't you come back next week, Jimmy?
Who you got on next week?
Well, we have Fred Allen.
There you go with that alphabet again. I'll come back when you got Zanuck and Zabisco.
I'd love to have you, Jimmy, because I needn't tell you, you were as usual superb.
Superb? Or you're only just saying that.
That's right, darling.
I'll be glad to come back anytime, but just one thing, Toulouse.
Yes, sir?
Do we need that Eddie Cannon? All he does is talk about his 5 years in show business and his 40 daughters. And he gets all the laughs.
I know just what you mean, Jimmy. Just what I was thinking myself. I'm sure I can get rid of him. Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, Toulouse.
Good night, Toulouse.
Oh, Eddie, I was just talking about you, darling.
Wait for me outside, Jimmy.
Okay.
Well, Eddie, I needn't tell you that you were, as usual, superb.
Oh, you're just saying that.
That's right, darling. I'd love to have you back on our show again. How about a month from today?
It'll be my pleasure. Oh, one thing, Toulouse.
Yes, Eddie?
I've been on this show 40 years. I can't understand with me on the show why you need a guy like Hope. All he does is stand there and ad-lib and get a lot of laughs. I've seen it happen time and time again. First he gets a lot of laughs. Then they start saying, what do we need with all those other stars on the show? You get me?
Eddie, you took the words right out of my own venomous mouth, darling.
Now, I don't mean to make trouble, you understand?
Oh, of course, and I'm sure I can arrange to keep him off the show.
Good night, Toulouse.
Good night, Eddie. Oh, hello, Bob.
Wait for me outside, will you, Eddie?
Well, Bob, I needn't tell you that you were, as usual, superb.
Why not? If it takes too long, I'll sponsor the next 15 minutes.
You really were, darling. And I'd love to have you back with us again, huh?
I'd like to, but I don't fit in with you, old-timer. I mean, these two old-timers. I'm young, I'm lovely, I'm engaged to Chesterfield. After all, Toulouse, let's be honest.
Well, Bob, it's a little late in the show for that, but if you insist.
You know, you and I could wrap this thing up ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Why split the laughs up with the other two guys, you see?
Darling, you've been reading my mind.
Well, it was open, so I just took a fast peek.
I'm sure I can arrange to have them taken off the...
Hey, Bob!
You coming?
Yeah, I'm coming. Good night, Toulouse.
Good night, Bob.
Well, here I am, man. Let's go. Come on, Eddie. Come on, Jimmy. You coming, Como?
You're right with you, fellas.
Look, fellas, can't we get rid of that bankhead dame?
You said it, Eddie, a woman master of ceremonies.
I'm going to tell Miss Bankhead what you said.
Oh, who's afraid of her and her broad and A's?
Darling, don't pay any attention to them. They were only joking, I hope. Because I like this job, and I want to invite all of you to be back with us next week. And we will have with us Fred Allen, Jack Carson, Mindy Carson, Perry Como, Ed Archie Gardner, and Ed Wynn. And now the rest of the company joins me in hoping that until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. Mindy?
May you find that long-awaited golden day today.
Bob?
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. Jimmy?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, Perry.
May you walk with the sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree.
Eddie?
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Here we wish we tomorrow. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you.
And a happy Thanksgiving.
The Big Show is directed and produced alphabetically by Dee Engelbach, was written alphabetically by Goodman Ace, with George Foster, Morton Green, Wilbur and Kelly, and Frank Wilson. This is Ed Herlihy. Good night, everyone.
Listen to Phil Harris, then Hedda Hopper Show on NBC.